Exodus chapter 20. Let's just say amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that it is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In verse 11 of the time. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Today I'd like to preach the message entitled Keeping the Sabbath.
Amen.
Most guys have to shout in time.
Amen. Say it.
But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer just because that's what blesses us. Because I know that it's only by the grace of God that the Lord of God has the effect. I just want His Spirit to have His glory. If you go to the Lord in prayer with me. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Lord, we worship you for your word. We thank you for all the wonderful things you've done. God, just pray that your Spirit would anoint you and lift your Lord God to deliver your word under your unction, under your inspiration, not a man's wisdom or pastor's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. That people, Lord Jesus, will be connected to you, and empowered, Lord Jesus, the death and the breath and the living of your love. And we just pray and deploy that right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you all thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As you all know, the seventh day of the week is the day that God blessed and hallowed as a day of rest. Rest or cessation from labor. And there were certain rules that the Jews had to follow in keeping the Sabbath. Number one, you weren't supposed to do any work whatsoever. You think that would be an easy rule to follow. That for one day, you cannot do any work. That's I don't know if that's the end of it, but that's not the case. You know? But this one day, you're not supposed to do any type of work whatsoever. That goes for gathering or collecting objects or materials. You cannot do any type of work whatsoever or carry anything. Whatsoever. You're supposed to just relax and take a rest. Second rule was you weren't supposed to kindle or make a fire. And if you couldn't cook anything on the Sabbath either. You're supposed to prepare all your materials and all of your edibles the day before, prior to that day. You weren't supposed to do any type of labor. Thirdly, you were not supposed to leave your house except to go to the synagogue or the tabernacle. Now, in the Old Testament, you don't see any references really to the synagogue. That doesn't happen until the time of Jesus in the New Testament. But they didn't have the tabernacle or the temple. On the Sabbath day, we do find in the Old Testament that they had certain feasts and certain festivals that they were to keep to go into worship on that particular day. Except on that particular day, you were not supposed to leave your house. You're supposed to stay home. So three things. One, you were not supposed to do any work whatsoever. You're supposed to just take it easy, take a vacation. You couldn't carry anything. You couldn't gather objects, things like that, do anything, anything like that. You're just supposed to rest, relax, and take a little vacation. Second, you were not supposed to kindle or make a fire. You're not supposed to cook anything, make any food. All your preparation for your activities that on the Sabbath day were supposed to be made on the day prior. And thirdly, you weren't supposed to leave your house. You weren't supposed to travel anywhere. You weren't supposed to go and visit other people. You're supposed just to stay home, except unless you're going to synagogue or you're going to the tabernacle or the temple. Now, one of the things I think is very interesting, the very first example of the Sabbath being institutionalized for man's observance is found when the children of Israel cried to God for food in the wilderness. Now, you know the story that the children of Israel, they were delivered from Pharaoh, from the Egyptians, and from slavery, and that they had come out to the wilderness and they began to cry out to God for food. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rain every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now you see here that the Sabbath was established in relation to the bread. Verse 23 of Exodus chapter 16 says, and he said to them that this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath, unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seed that you will seed. And that which remaineth overlay up for you to be kept until the Lord. And they laid it up till the Lord, as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather, but on the seventh day
which is the Sabbath in it, there shall be none. So there shall be no bread. So we're to gather this bread. The bread was going to come from heaven. They were gathered this day. On the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, there was going to be no bread. They were not to go outside to gather. They were supposed to stay home, take the bread that they had already taken, and they were to feed them, to eat that bread, and to have a meditation. The Bible said in verse 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long are these to keep my commandments and my laws? See for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide every man in his place, let no man go out of this place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like porridge, seen white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So the very first observance of the Sabbath was in relation to the bread, or the manna that God gave to the children of Israel. Now the rules and regulations were centered around its collection. All the rules that we see regarding the Sabbath were centered around the manna. That's when we first see the word Sabbath being really being emphasized by God in observance to the people of God. Now we think that the Sabbath, of course, is supposed to be worshiping on a day and going to the synagogue and all that other stuff, but the focus of the Sabbath was for the manna, was for the bread. You were to take the bread home during the 6 days, or on the sixth day, and you were to collect that, and the Bible says that God gave you enough bread, enough manna to feed your family, and feed yourself on the sixth day, that you would not have to work on any other day, or on the seventh day. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee the hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That this whole exercise was to give them an understanding of God's word. That everything that transpired in the wilderness, all the miracles that were done in the wilderness in the book of Exodus, was due to the decrees of God's word. And the manna and the bread was a type, it was a shadow of to what was to come, of the true bread that was to come from heaven. John chapter 6, verse 30. The Bible said, they said therefore to him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now look at this. There was bread that was given in the Old Testament, the bread that came from heaven to feed the children of Israel. And then Jesus says in the New Testament that I am the bread, that I am the bread of life. And here Jesus shows the difference between the Old Testament bread and the New Testament bread, which is a metaphor for showing the law and grace. The Bible said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament that they were under the law, and that the law could not save humanity. It could not redeem mankind. It was a mirror to show the evil, the wickedness that mankind had. And out of there, it showed the type of the law, that the law only brought death. If you were to follow the law, you are not going to be saved and live in the eternal life. But if you eat the law of Jesus Christ, which is grace, that those that come under grace will never hunger nor thirst again. The Bible says the reverence of the word under the law could not bring life, but in fact showed us and brought death. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That the law brought death because all it did was show us our sinful nature. And there's many of us that you're eating the bread, you're eating the manna that was in the wilderness under the law. You're eating the bread that of observance of the law that I think I'm saying through doing this and this and following rules and regulations. But Jesus said, no, partake of the law of grace. And not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore struggled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. That the way that you would keep the Sabbath was to feed on the bread of life. The bread that came down from heaven. Now I'm going to go back to those rules about the Sabbath. Now I won't keep the 40 very long. It's simple as well. I want to go back to those rules about the Sabbath. There's three rules I gave you. The first was you weren't supposed to do any work whatsoever. You couldn't gather or care anything whatsoever, okay? And again, because all the gathering and care was done during the 6 days of labor, and on the sixth day you got twice as much so that you have enough to survive the seventh day. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. I want you to see this. And you know, my brothers, take my time.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise be left us of entering into his rest, and you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, and they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The Bible says that we which have believed do enter into a type of sabbatical rest, a Sabbath rest. And the thing is, this rest, this peace, was set up from the beginning of the world. It was prepared. Again, it was a typology of the preparation that was done on the sixth day before the seventh day actually came. He said, I prepared it from the foundation of the world, a rest for you. For we which have believed have entered into rest, as he said, as I swore my wrath, that they shall enter my rest. All of the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place in the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore remaineth that some must enter therein. And they know who was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now the reason why that people are not entering into the rest of God's actions is because of their unbelief. Or because they don't have faith and they're not taking stock in the things that God has for us. Now here's the thing, remember rule number one. You are not supposed to do any work whatsoever. You're not to gather or to carry anything whatsoever. You're to go pick up some luggage or pick up the trash or anything. You're not to carry any burden or anything like that. You see this in John chapter 5. When Jesus healed the man by the pool of Bethesda, after he healed him, he told him to take up his bed and to walk. And the Bible says that the Pharisees saw him carrying his sleeping mat as how you can sleep as the Sabbath. That because that's what they were told. You're not supposed to carry anything whatsoever. And the reason why was the typology, a shadow of what Jesus Christ would do for us in the Sabbath day rest. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The reason why they were not to carry anything or do any work, because their labor had ceased and God's work had begun. That they were no longer to carry their own burdens, or carry the work of Jesus Christ. You have to carry the others. The Bible says that surely he has borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. He carried our sleeping mat. He carried the labors that we were working for during the other 6 days of the week. But when the Sabbath came, we entered into his rest through faith. That we no longer have to carry our sins or carry our burdens, but we're to carry the book of Jesus Christ is to carry all the things that we have. Amen. So that was number one. You were to carry everything because it was a model for Jesus Christ carrying everything for you. That's right. I don't know what burdens that you came to this church today, but you don't have to carry them anymore. But this is your Sabbath day. But you can carry them to Jesus Christ. And you will be carried away. Number two. You weren't supposed to kindle or make a fire. Whatsoever you're supposed to make a fire, whatsoever, or cook, because all that was supposed to be done beforehand. And this was also a model of typology of what Christ was to do under the new covenant in the New Testament. The Bible says in Matthew 3:11, I be baptized with water of repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier. get them peace and to get them slumber from all the burdens of life. They could not allow them. Look at this number now. The Sabbath was centered around the bread of man. Go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 7. Numbers 11, verse 7, talking about the manna. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of a dove. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. Let me read this verse again. And the people went about and gathered it, and they ground it in the mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. Now the Bible says Jesus in the New Testament says that he was the bread of life. Yes. That his body was the bread of life that we were to partake. And the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquities.
Yes.
And look what they did to the bread. It says that they would beat it. And the people went about together and ground it in the mills. And they beat it in mortar.
Yes.
It was a typology of how Jesus Christ was to be smitten and stricken with stripes and beat for our afflictions. And the Bible says it was baked in pans. The Bible says that also that when Christ, after he had died and ascended into the pits of hell itself, the priest of the spirits of the living, went to the hellfire itself to take on our judgment. He was baked in the pans and made cakes of it. The Bible says in taste and see that the Lord is good. That's why we can partake of the bread of life. And the taste of it as the taste of fresh oil. That when Jesus Christ rose and ascended into heaven, that he sent another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to baptize us with the oil and with the oil that cried our head to the soul of our feet. The Sabbath is sitting around the bread that was broken for us. And because it was broken for us, we can enter into rest. Thirdly, you weren't supposed to leave your house except to go to the synagogue and the tabernacle. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And listen, there's two typologies that's given. Again, one, it was symbolizing how the bread was to abide in the house, was to abide to stay in the house, even so that Jesus Christ, his spirit, dwells in earthen vessels, that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is to abide inside of us. That whenever we get done hearing the Word of God, we don't just consume, we get rid of it, goes in one ear and out the other. But it's to abide with us and remain with us. We are to meditate on the laws of God on the Sabbath day so that we can fully enter into his rest. Because when you're fully entering into his rest, you're not worried about the bills that have to be paid. Is that we don't do any work. We let Christ do the work. We don't beat ourselves over the head over the observance of laws and regulations, but we take rest and know that Christ has carried away all of our sorrows and all of our griefs and all of our problems. Christ carried it on his back. We don't need to carry it anymore. There's no point in two of us carrying it. Jesus Christ carried it himself.
Amen.
Secondly, that we have to kindle the fire. Christ is going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire, and incinerate and evaporate anything that's unlike him, any carnality, any sin, any issue. Christ wants to burn it up in the fervency of his glory and the passion of his fire. And also, God wants to make his abode, and he wants to abide in you. Just as the bread was to stay in us, God gave them twice as much bread. Twice as much bread on the 6 days so they can just feed on the bread on the Sabbath and not have to labor. Christ wants to give you the bread of life.
Amen.
Some of you come in here hungry, not just naturally speaking, but spiritually speaking, you come in here hungry.
Yes.
You've taken the bread of the law, you tried doing rules and regulations, you tried it in man's way. But the people that ate the manna under the Old Testament, they are dead today. But Jesus Christ said, come and take of the bread of life. Because the one that he said, I will give unto you everlasting life. And you shall never die.
Amen.
And you shall never hunger and never thirst. And that is how we keep the Sabbath holy. We don't make the Sabbath holy. God is the one who makes the Sabbath holy. already done. All we can do is observe it, and we can keep it. I don't know who this was for, but the Lord is saying that you need to take up the matter. Take up the bread of life, and take rest in me. Take up the bread of life. Begin to chew on what God has prepared for you. Take the fresh oil, the sweet smelling savor of God, that you enter into his rest, walk in his faith, walk in his statutes, walk in his law, and God will give you rest. Some of you have a gaping hole in your soul and it seems like nothing will fill it. But God is the bread of life that's you. Then he wants to give unto you that you would feed and that your soul is thoroughly satisfied. Let's keep the Sabbath and let's keep it holy today. God bless you.
If you've enjoyed this message and would like to hear more, please contact Pastor Mike at 414-755-2296. If you would prefer to contact us by email, our email address is pastor@rehobothnewlife.com. We would be glad to hear from you. May the Lord continue to bless you.